Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew this evening. Once again, we're in the book of Matthew this morning. We began to note our Lord's answer to the third question asked of him by the disciples. At the end of the third verse in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples asked the question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Note then verse number 15, please. Verse 15 this evening, we'll read verses 15 to 17 and then we'll pray. Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 17. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray as we have spent these few moments around your table remembering the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in his imminent return. And until that glorious event, O God, I pray that you might find us ever watching and serving you. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would teach us from your word this evening, that you might motivate us and equip us to serve you more effectively. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The events recorded from verses 4 all the way down to verse number 26 precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verses 27 to 31 make reference to our Lord's return to the earth with the saints. This is what the Bible refers to as the second coming of Christ. And the disciples not only asked our Lord, "What is the sign of thy coming?" but also they wanted to know, what are the signs of the end of the world? And that takes us to verses 4 and following, and we noted this morning that from verses 4 all the way through to verse number 26, our Lord makes reference to a period of time, a period of judgment, divided up into two parts, the beginning of sorrows, as it's called in verse number 8, and from verses 4 leading down to verse number 14 deals with that first half of this period of time. Then the second period of time, the second part of this time of tribulation is referred to as the Great Tribulation. The middle of the tribulation period, this period of 7 years that God tells us will take place, in which God will fulfill his just judgment upon the nation of Israel, begins with this event that is recorded in verse number 15. Now, I stress this morning that Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25 are not in reference to the New Testament church. It's not in reference to those of us that are born-again Christians. Because the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So these events do not involve the Christian. This involves once the Christians are taken from the earth. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 to 17 give us the detail concerning that. And then chapter 5, it goes on, 1 Thessalonians teaching us that we as Christians will be taken from the earth. So the Bible talks about this period of judgment that will take place, and it's future, but it will precede the second coming of Christ. Now, I'd like to prove to you without doubt from verse number 15 that these events known as the beginning of sorrows and the great tribulation is in reference to a period of 7 years that God has appointed for the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah, it's referred to as Jacob's trouble. In the book of Revelation, from chapter 6 to chapter 19, God gives us extensive detail concerning the events of this tribulation period, a 1 week period of judgment. And note here in verse number 15, the Lord Jesus makes reference to Daniel the prophet. And with this, I'd like to prove from the authority of the Word of God that these events that are mentioned here in chapter 24, the beginning of sorrows, the leading astray at an epidemic rate, the worldwide wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes and chaos and all of these traumatic events that will take place within this period of time is not in reference to the time of the New Testament church that will be upon the earth. But it will be a time referred to as Jacob's trouble, a tribulation period. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciple, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." So Jesus said, "I want you to understand what I'm referring to here." The Bible interprets the Bible. And if you want to understand what the Bible teaches, if you are diligent in your study, you will find the Bible will interpret itself. So the Lord Jesus gives us the key that unlocks all of this. And it leads us back to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And if you would turn there with me, please, Daniel chapter 9. Please keep your place there in Matthew chapter 24. Daniel chapter 9. And this prophecy that our Lord makes reference to, given to Daniel the prophet, ignites what is referred to as the Great Tribulation, the second part of this period of judgment. Note here in Daniel chapter 9, please, in verse number 20 to 27, oh, I wish we had time to read through this in detail, but I'll allow you to do that before you go to bed tonight, and it will encourage your soul. But we see in verse number 20, the Bible teaches us that Daniel is praying and confessing his sin. He's wanting to know. He's wanting some answers concerning God's people and how God is dealing with his people. Then note there in verse number 24, it reads, 70 weeks, 70 times 7, 490 years in other words, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Note the wording there, thy people and upon thy holy city. And this is what our Lord Jesus was referring to there in Matthew chapter 24, that the context of the events that are taking place in chapter 24 and chapter 25 of Matthew are in relation to God's people, the nation of Israel, and the city of Jerusalem. And then the Bible goes on to teach there in verse 24, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, that's in reference to the kingdom reign of Christ, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, in other words, to confirm and to complete the Word of God, and to anoint the Most Holy, where Jesus Christ will reign and as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the Bible makes reference to the fact in verse number 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. 69 weeks, and the streets shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. And then the Bible teaches us that after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, but for the people of the Prince that shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. So here the Bible makes reference to the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will be crucified, he'll be cut off, he'll be rejected. So the Bible makes reference to a period of time that will lead up until the rejection of Jesus Christ. 69 weeks. 69 times 7 years. And then in verse number 26 it makes reference to the destroy of the city and the sanctuary. That's in reference to the destruction of Jerusalem. That took place in AD 70. So there'll be 69 weeks of biblical prophecy. 69 times 7 weeks, 483 years, will take us until the rejection of Jesus Christ. And then there will be an interval of which Jerusalem will be destroyed. And that took place in AD 70, when Titus the general, the Roman general, came in and destroyed Jerusalem. And yet the Bible teaches us there is 1 week to follow, because verse number 24 teaches us 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. There's 1 week to go. And note then verse number 27, and this is the actual reference to Matthew chapter 24 verse 15, and this is what our Lord is referring to. Note then verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation, the services, to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall take it desolate, even unto the consummation, and the determined, that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Note then verse 27, the Bible makes reference to a week, 7 years. It's a reference to 7 years. And in the middle of that time, something will cease, and that is the sacrifices within the Jewish temple. So during the middle of this 7 years, this week of judgment that will be poured out upon God's people, the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, a peace treaty will be broken. The Bible makes reference to a peace treaty that we made with the nation of Israel for 1 week for 7 years, guaranteeing peace and protection for Israel. And during the midst of those 7 years, 3.5 years, that peace treaty will be broken by the world dictator, the world leader. And this is what the Lord Jesus made reference to in verse number 15 when he made reference to the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, but in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifices and the oblation to cease. So, this prophecy of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, involves 70 times 7 years, 490 years of God's dealing with Israel and the nation. And up until the Lord Jesus being cut off are 69 weeks, or 69 times 7, which adds to 483 years. But there's still a week to be fulfilled, of which God will complete his dealings with the nation of Israel. So there will be this 1 week agreement, this 7 year agreement with the Jews to protect them from the enemies. But it's during this time, the middle of this week, that that covenant of peace will be broken. And the Lord Jesus makes reference to the abomination of desolation, which refers back to Daniel chapter 9. So in other words, during this tribulation period, 3.5 years into that tribulation period will begin what the Lord Jesus referred to as the great tribulation there in verse number 21. Then shall there be great tribulation, such as not was since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So this event that takes place in the middle of the tribulation period will ignite what our Lord Jesus referred to as the great tribulation, the second part of that 7 year period. Now it's interesting that a gentleman by the name of Sir Robert Anderson, in a book titled The Coming Prince, this man was converted to Jesus Christ at the age of 19, loved the Word of God, a diligent student of the Word of God. His father was a Presbyterian minister, and he was not a Baptist, he was more like an Anglican, of the Anglican persuasion. But he loved prophecy. He loved referencing the fact concerning the imminent return of Christ? Well, he did a study. And he took the book of Daniel and he took the prophecy given of Daniel concerning the nation of Israel. And he worked out to the very letter from the time that King Artaxerxes gave mandate for Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the wall and rebuild the city, which was the 14th of March, 445 BC, 14th of March is a wonderful date. My favourite daughter was born on the 14th of March, but not in 445 BC. So that mandate was made on that day, the 14th of March, 445 BC. And the day that the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to present himself as the Messiah was the 6th of April, AD 32. And Sir Robert Anderson worked out that between the 14th of March, 445 BC, and the 6th of April, 32 AD, were 173,880 days, the equivalent of 483 years to the day. God's word is perfect. And this gentleman, who was knighted, in fact, in the late 1800s by Queen Victoria, was a wonderful man of God who served the monarchy very faithfully, a diligent Bible student, worked it out that Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled to the very letter. And there's still a week to come. And this is what the Bible refers to as the tribulation period. And these events that take place here in Matthew chapter 24 are in reference to this tribulation period. And this gentleman, carefully, in studying the Word of God, was able to work it out and to prove the authority of the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God. So here in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus makes reference to the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. It is during this, the middle of the tribulation period, that the Bible teaches us that the Antichrist, the world dictator, will reveal his true colors. And he will move into the Jewish temple. There will be a temple built in the tribulation period. And as I mentioned last week, today there is an organization known as the Temple Institute. Look it up. Google it. Make good use of Google. The Temple Institute. And they have already made items, furnishings for this temple. They have the plans for this temple. In fact, reliable Jewish authorities have worked out the second temple was built to the north of the Dome of the Rock, and there is room right there to rebuild their temple. And within this Temple Institute, they've even begun to train priests for the building of this temple. So there will be a Jewish temple built during the tribulation period, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast, this world leader, will sign a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. But in the middle of that 7 years, 3.5 years in, he will move into the temple. He will erect a image of himself. He will stop any further sacrifices by the Jewish people. And he will demand worship of himself and his idol. And this is what Daniel refers to as the abomination of desolation. Quickly turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Gives us some detail concerning this Antichrist, the man of sin. But for the sake of time, look at verse number 4, please, and it makes reference to this world dictator setting himself up as God within the Jewish temple. Note then verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this is the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist, after 3.5 years, will reveal his true colors, that he is truly the Antichrist. He is the beast, and he demands worship. And the Lord Jesus made reference from this point on as the Great Tribulation, because Israel as a nation are persecuted to no end. And therefore, it reads back there in Matthew chapter 24, verse 16, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Verse 18, let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Verse 19, and woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. So during this period of time here in Matthew chapter 24, following the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist will reveal his true colors. He will expect people to worship him as God. And of course, God's people have no part in that. And he begins to persecute Israel, and he begins to inflict death and pain upon all those that will not receive his mark in their forehead or on their right hand. And those that refuse to worship his image. Now, if we had time, we'd go to Revelation chapter 13, and you can read that as well before you go to bed tonight. And you'll see very clearly concerning his activities, and he will demand worship, and for you to buy and sell, you need to have this mark. And for those that are the people of God, for those that are saved during the tribulation period, obviously they won't receive the mark of the Antichrist. And they will be persecuted as a result. And here in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus makes references to this abomination of desolation that will take place during this period that'll be known as the Great Tribulation, and he's making reference to God's people fleeing for their lives. Because the Antichrist was seemingly a friend to the nation of Israel for the first 3.5 years, but now he reveals his true colors. And they are to flee. So this abomination of desolation here, this event that takes place in the middle of the tribulation period that our Lord makes reference to in verse number 15, is when the Antichrist goes into the temple and presents himself as God and demands worship. And this ignites his hatred for the Jewish people. And he spares no time in severely persecuting them. So God's people are flee for their lives, and that's the essence of verses 16 to 21. Flee, waste no time in hiding is the warning to the Jewish people concerning this tribulation period. And my friend, for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we can take comfort in the fact that Psalm 9:9 reads, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we don't have to fear, because the Bible teaches us, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. In verses 16 and 17 it reads, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then note then verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, as we move into chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And the Bible makes reference to sudden destruction cometh upon them, those that are without Christ. But note then verse number 9 of chapter 5, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend this evening, if you are in Christ, you don't need to fear the tribulation period. This period of judgment of 7 years that where God will pour out His wrath, those last 7 years of Daniel's 70 weeks, because the judgment involves the nation of Israel. Well, God will complete His dealings with the nation of Israel. And as a result of those 7 years of judgment, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 11 that Israel shall be saved. Verses 25 and 26. They'll be saved. But for those of us that are in Christ, there's nothing to fear. We don't look for signs, we look for the Savior. And one day Jesus Christ is coming again. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those Christians that have died in Christ, they'll be raised in a new resurrection body. And then for those that will have the privilege of still being alive at His return, and I'm vouching for that. I'm putting in my 2 bob. I'm saying, good Lord, please, I'd love it if You would take me while I'm still alive. Can't wait to see all of God's people being God's presence on time. Amen. Nobody late. Everybody on time to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with Him. Punctuality. Can't wait to see it. That'll be a glorious day. And we'll be with the Lord forever, the Bible teaches us. And once the Christians are taken from there, then we'll begin this 1 week of judgment. And there it is spelled out in Matthew chapter 24. But further details are in Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19. If you want the detail of those 7 years of tribulation, read the book of Revelation. But for those of us that are in Christ, God has not appointed us to die of wrath, but salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Does the thought of our Lord's coming cause you to fear or to rejoice? To fear or to rejoice? The difference is between judgment and salvation. We rejoice for those of us that are in Christ because we will be taken out of the way. Then God will pour out His judgment for 7 years upon Israel primarily and the unsaved world. So the thought of the coming of Christ, does that instill fear in your heart or rejoicing in your heart? I hope it's rejoicing. But my friend, if there is fear, I'd like to encourage you this evening to come to the Christ and to receive Him as Savior and Lord. Because in Christ, God has not appointed us a day of wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you accept Him and escape the wrath of God to come that is clearly spelled out in the Word of God? My friend, you are without excuse. The Bible teaches very clearly that only in Christ God has not appointed us to have wrath. But you must be in Christ. Is Christ in you? Do you know Him as your own personal Savior? My friend, this Bible's true. This Bible's true. Every prophecy to date has been fulfilled to the letter. Daniel's 70th week up to 483 years, all fulfilled to the letter, to the day. Only 7 years to go, the tribulation period. This book is true. The Word of God is true. There is a God in heaven. And Jesus Christ said, I'm coming again. He could come back tonight. Are you ready for His return? Christian, are you diligent in telling others and living out the Christian life? Are you concerned about loved ones? Are you concerned about your friends? Are you concerned about the fact that if Christ was to return, the tribulation period will begin? And you know, we've been studying today exactly what's going to take place. If there's such a thing, it will be hell on earth. That's the tribulation period. But may God motivate us to tell others and tell them that there is a deliverer in the person of Jesus Christ. May God find us faithful telling others about our Savior and living out the Christian life. Because in Christ, we will escape the wrath of God to come. And all of God's people said, Amen to that. Let's close our time in prayer.